We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for March 25th, 2010. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the House Ways and Means Committee yesterday heard testimony on Asian currencies. We'll have this and other stories this half hour. Also, Todd Gleason reports on corn stalk issues, and we have a commentary on water. It's all on the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On Thursday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City: May wheat, 476 3/4, down 8.5. July, 487 3/4, down 8.5. May wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 466 1/2, down 9.5. July, 479 1/2, down 9.25. May corn, 355, down 10. July, 366 1/4, down 9 3/4. September, 375, down 10. December, 384 3/4, down 9.25. March of 2011, 396, down 9. May beans, 942 1/2, down 17.5. July, 950 1/2, down 17. August, 945, down 16.5. September, 925 1/2, down 16.25. November, 913, down 14.25. May soybean meal, 265.90, down $5. July, 263.60, down 4.70. May soybean oil, 38.70, down 38. July, 39.13, down 37. April live cattle, 94.75, down 97.5. June, 92.12, down 75. March feeders, 106.10, unchanged. April, 107.47 1/2, down 55. And April lean hogs, 70.12 1/2, down 100 on the day. And those are Thursday's settlements in Chicago and Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Looking at AM 580, Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser's two-state forecast, he says tonight in northwestern Illinois, mostly clear. Elsewhere in the north and across central Illinois, clearing overnight. In central Indiana and the south, cloudy with some rain, mostly before midnight. Lows ranging from 20 in far northwestern Illinois to 35 in the far south and along the Chicago lakefront. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs ranging from 43 in northern Indiana and northeastern Illinois to 53 in far southern Illinois. Here's Ed's extended highlights. He says rainfall today will exceed 0.5 inch in many central locations and may exceed 1 inch in some southern locations, especially near the Ohio River. Dry weather is expected on Friday and Saturday. Rain will likely move through Saturday night into Sunday. Most amounts with that rain should remain under 0.5 inch, but a few locations could pick up more. And dry weather with a warming trend is expected next week. We would like to thank these sponsors who helped support the recent WILL 20th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting and all of our agricultural programs on air and online. Strategic Farm Marketing, Stuart Peterson, ADM, Risk Management Commodities, and Pioneer. Thank you. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hi, Dave.
Well, I suppose that we can officially say that we saw technical damage on the charts today. Corn now has an outside month down, and we made new lows on the daily charts for the current move in May. So I guess we can now talk officially about some downside objectives. What do you see?
Well, I think there's still a shot at a short-term bounce, but the fact that yesterday's little reversal up failed showed you what happens when technical signals fail. When they fail, they really fail big. And in this case, we had a little reversal up, and as soon as the market started penetrating that 359 area, we hit a whole bunch of sell stops underneath the market and what took us on down here, and we ended up closing at 55. Now, looking at the stochastic indicator that I was talking about this morning, that is still a possibility, but you would want to see the market definitely trade higher in overnight trade and go ahead and close higher tomorrow. You might be able to get something set up here for a short-term rally. Maybe going into next week's report. But the downside, the initial downside objective here on May corn would probably be go down into this mid-340s. So if you'd say we close at 55 here today, there's probably a short-term risk yet of maybe a dime down. Longer term, you can, you know, read it back to maybe 3.25, but I don't look for that to necessarily happen right away if it happens. I think on the short term here, you probably have to look about 345 on the May corn.
Soybeans also down today, but not as much technical damage, it looks like to me.
Well, soybeans still kind of remain in their so-called sideways to higher type trend that we've kind of traced out here over the past couple of weeks. So we're probably what we would call in soybeans is kind of a setback. We've probably lost, I'm just eyeballing it here, my guess here is that we've lost about 62% of the advance off of this 921 low that we had here a couple weeks ago up to the last week's high up there around 75, 76. So if beans would kind of hold together in here, they still kind of stay in the game to maybe try to creep up toward the upper end of sideways to higher channel. But we'll have to kind of see. If it fails, then the bears will come out of the woodwork on soybeans also and start talking about some pretty good declines. The first target here would be to go down underneath this early February low here, about 9/11.
And what would be downside objectives if we saw settlements below 9/11?
Well, just eyeballing it here, we'd probably be talking initially something in that probably 8.25 range, I think, is probably what you'll see a lot of technicians talk about. What they would do would be the decline off of that January high down to the early February lows, like $1.67 on May soybeans, that's rounded off to $1.70. You'd subtract that off of the most recent high of 9.85, so that would take you down into that, you know, 8.15, 8.20 area. It's probably what a lot of technicians would talk about.
And the overall reason for this decline in part is the screaming higher dollar?
Well, everything's kind of coming into play here. I mean, beans, I think you still have to acknowledge the fact that we have a very large South America crop that is just moving into the pipeline, and that crop is going to steal demand away from our next year's balance sheet. There's projections that We could lose upwards of 300 million bushels of export demand next year because of that large South American crop. We could probably lose upwards of 100 million bushels of crush demand because of that large South American crop. So as traders look down the road, they see a lot of beans coming at us. And, of course, we don't know yet what the growing season is going to be. We're going to get a little better idea what farmer intentions are, but that's what the trade is looking at on beans. As far as corn goes, we've got problems in corn. Export demand continues to stay relatively weak, and I think you have to expect some more downward adjustments in export projections. Feed demand is not on fire by no means. We still have competition from cheap feed wheat. You look at your ethanol margins are getting terrible. We just ain't moving enough product into the consumer with unemployment at 20%. People are slowing down on demand. So you do have a consumption problem of gasoline, and that definitely is impacting movement of ethanol. Now, blending margins are good, but processor margins are diminishing because we do have an excess amount of inventory of ethanol around.
About 30 seconds on the technicals on the dollar, please.
Well, the dollar is really screaming to the upside, and that is a key deflationary force here to commodities clear across the board. And if you just glance at the movement and the pattern of the dollar, it does look like it's headed up into that 84 level. So we got another 2 to 3 points to go. And if that happens, that's going to put a lot of downward pressure on commodity complex.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, and he is in Decatur, Illinois. We have full analysis on our website. Go to WILLAG.org, where we have audio as well as a way to subscribe to our weekend ag e-letter. You can do that in the right navigation window. Get technicals and fundamentals this weekend at willag.org.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In agricultural news, C. Fred Bergsten, head of the Peterson Institute for International Economics, told the House Ways and Means Committee yesterday that a successful campaign to pressure Asian nations on currency issues could create as many as 1.2 million new American jobs. Bergsten says that not only was China keeping its currency undervalued against the dollar, but Hong Kong, Malaysia, Singapore, and Taiwan were keeping their currencies undervalued as well. Bergsten says that he believes the Chinese yuan is undervalued by about 40% against the dollar, and the other currencies are equally undervalued. Bergsten testified at a hearing called by the House panel to highlight the growing unhappiness in Washington over China's currency policies. The Senate Agriculture Committee yesterday passed the Healthy, Hungry, Free Kids Act, a bill to reauthorize the child nutrition programs with a $4.5 billion increase in funding over 10 years to improve funding for school after-school and summer meal programs and to improve the nutritional quality of the meals. The committee unanimously supported the bill by a bipartisan voice vote. The bill contains provisions to give the Agriculture Department the power to set standards for all foods that can be served in schools, including those sold in vending machines and a la carte lines from which children buy alternatives to the school lunch. It also establishes nutritional requirements for child care providers participating in the Child and Adult Care Food Program, and provides mandatory funding for schools to establish school gardens and bring local foods into school cafeterias. The Kansas City Federal Reserve says that U.S. commercial banks are keeping credit standards elevated for farmers wanting loans to grow crops and raise livestock this year after loan repayment worsened in 2009 and delinquency rates rose. The Fed says those facing the most difficulty in getting credit are livestock producers, whose thin profit margins and high debt levels are seen likely to continue in 2010. U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will likely use his upcoming visit to Japan to press officials there to lift restrictions on U.S. beef. Vilsack is scheduled to visit Tokyo and other Japanese cities April 5th through the 9th. Vilsack says that any efforts in Japan will be made more difficult by what the Bush administration did 2 years ago when it negotiated a beef trade agreement with South Korea, promising South Korea that the U.S. would not offer any other Asian country stronger BSE protections. In return, South Korea agreed to gradually reduce its restrictions on U.S. beef. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Blanche Lincoln says U.S. financial reform should require the reporting of all trades in the $450 trillion swaps market and mandatory clearing for some standardized swaps. Fleshing out details of the Agriculture Committee's approach on derivatives reform for the first time, Lincoln says she believes some swaps should be exempt from central clearing. Lincoln's ideas for the bill appeared less restrictive for users of derivatives, blamed in part for amplifying economic turmoil in late 2008, than the Senate Banking Committee's proposal or the House version, which passed in December. Lincoln says her committee hopes to release a bipartisan draft bill for discussion and debate in April. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. This spring, farmers are facing a serious corn stalk problem. Todd Gleason has the story.
Managing trash on a field, this is the organic material left over from previous season's crops, has always been a high priority for farmers, even no-tillers. They'll be ahead of the game this spring because they're used to working with lots of corn stalks. Other farmers are worried, and rightfully so, says University of Illinois agronomist Emerson Nafziger.
One of the important things is getting some of the residue corn stalks worked in, or at least broken up and a little bit out of the way of the planting operation. It's, especially with corn after corn, most people feel that tillage is essential. And the main reason that people feel that way is because it gets those corn stalks out of the way of the planter.
Right, but not this year, at least not so far this year, because fall tillage was done at a minimum. The stalks left in the field, says Nafziger, are well preserved, and that's a problem too. The breakdown of the stalk is mostly biological. Roughing up the residue mechanically can speed up the process, but it won't do the job, and there probably won't be enough time this spring for that job to get done.
Breakdown of stalks is a biological process, so there's not a lot we can do to speed it up if we don't have the temperatures to do that. But we can physically size the stalks as well, which can help us mechanically when it comes to planting. And that's probably about all we can do this spring, is try to physically break them into pieces so that we can push them aside with in our planting operations, so we're not trying to plant directly across these corn stalks that are in the soil. And it's not easy to do that even, especially when they're in good shape like they are now. And a lot of people are simply going to have to experiment with things to see if they can get that job done.
That in and of itself won't be easy, and it will take a great deal of patience on the part of the farmer, says the Illinois agronomist.
Well, first of all, the fact that the stalks are there is going to slow the drying rate, and so it's going to be a test of our patience until we can get in and do anything. The soils are clearly wet. Driving across them is, you know, except for the fact that we packed them at planting and packed them again at harvest last year, which might make it a little easier to drive across them. But it's not going to be a pleasant thing to sit and wait until these are dry enough.
Not pleasant, but necessary if seedbed preparation is to provide a good environment for the germination of the next crop. Well, absolutely no primary or deep tillage tools allowed in most cases, says Nafziger. Something lighter, like a soil finisher, might do the job.
The soil finishers won't be as heavy as the primary tillage tools or the disc ripper combinations. And if you take some of the shanks off, let's say you took off, left one row on, or maybe even took them all off, so that because they would be doing little more than sort of raking things up. So set your front disc gangs to an angle that will do a decent job of chopping up the stalks and disturbing the soil, and then having the leveler come along behind might be a reasonable way to start this.
If not, an easy way to start the growing season. The fact is, says Emerson Nafziger, the 2009 crop was a good one, and that means there's lots of residue on the field, residue that most would have chiseled last fall but did not get the chance. It will make managing residue for the 2010 crop very difficult, probably time-consuming, and most likely frustrating. Patience will be the key to the process. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
In this week's agricultural commentary, Shelby County Extension's Amy Roachkiss says water is the lifeblood of agriculture.
Farmers who raise crops and livestock cannot work and survive without water. Sometimes we take water for granted until we need it, or in a drought when it is not available to us. The United States has a great system in place to protect our nation's groundwater supply. According to the National Groundwater Association, 47% of the United States population depends on groundwater, which fills cracks and other openings in beds of rock and sand for drinking. In rural areas, that percentage goes up to 96%. Irrigation accounts for the largest use of groundwater in the United States. Some 58 billion gallons of groundwater are used daily for agricultural irrigation from more than 374,000 wells. Irrigation is critical for our nation's agriculture bounty, and farmers do all they can to protect and conserve this vital resource. The National Groundwater Association urges household well owners to check their well caps to make sure they are in good condition, which helps protect the water supply from contamination. The well cap is the cover on top of the well casing that sticks out of the ground. It is the first line of protection for the water within. In addition to keeping out pollutants, well caps serve as barriers to insects that prefer dark, damp environments to nest. Insects can cause major problems in a well. Bacteria levels can rise from their droppings, and sometimes the bugs themselves can get trapped in the well, die, and decompose in the well water. An annual checkup by a qualified water well contractor is the best way to ensure problem-free service and quality water. Preventative maintenance usually is less costly than emergency maintenance, and good well maintenance can prolong the life of your well and well-related equipment. The National Groundwater Association further recommends you test your water whenever there is a change in taste, odor, or appearance, or when the system is serviced. To learn more about well maintenance or water testing and treatment, visit the National Groundwater Association website at www.wellowner.org.
Support for today's programs comes from the Quark School Wine Emporium, 203 North Valley, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are...
This is Amy Roachkiss with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Information is available.
Amy Roachkiss's comments are her own and do not necessarily reflect those of this station. If you would like to provide an agricultural commentary, call Illinois Public Media at 217-333-7300.
It's With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Unemployment in Illinois rose slightly from January to February. The seasonally adjusted jobless rate for February was 11.4%. That's a tenth of a point higher than January. There were 900 fewer jobs in Illinois in February. Illinois Department of Employment Security Director Maureen O'Donnell says she's encouraged the job loss pace is slowing in the state. She says a few more months of data are needed, though, before it's possible to assess the path of recovery. Illinois' jobless rate is at its highest level since July 1983. The national rate was 9.7% in February. Champaign's police chief says a beefed-up effort by the U of I to make people aware of campus crime may be giving the impression that the crime rate is skyrocketing. But R.T. Finney points to figures that show 2009 as being the quietest year for campus crime reports in at least the last 15 years. Finney says his department is getting feedback from people who have been getting text messages and emails after serious crimes take place on the Urbana campus. The Washington office of Indiana Congressman Barron Hill says it's gotten threatening phone calls since Hill voted for the federal health care overhaul. A spokesman for the Democratic congressman in southeast Indiana says most calls to the office since the Sunday night vote have been supportive, and they've reported the threatening ones to Capitol Police. Two rest areas in Iroquois County may be much less green this spring because of evidence of an invasive insect. Environmental workers noticed problems with a stand of ash trees at one rest area on I-57 near Loda and then reported it to the state, which found evidence of the emerald ash borer. The bug's larvae bore through ash trees, cutting off their food supply. Ag Department officials say they plan to put traps out throughout Iroquois County and also in neighboring Champaign, Ford, and Vermilion counties to determine if the infestation has spread. Before now, the insect had been concentrated mainly in northern Illinois. An associate dean of academic affairs and law professor at the U of I has been named dean of Tulane University School of Law. David Meyer joined the U of I in 1996, will step into the position at Tulane July 1st.
Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is agricultural meteorologist Peter Levitt. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Dave.
It's wet out there today, and I guess some more rain coming over the weekend across the Midwest?
Yes, there is. It's mostly in the southeastern half of the Corn Belt, which sort of divides Illinois into a relatively drier northwestern half and all the wet weather in the southeastern half of the state right now. The low-pressure center is right down in southern Illinois now, right along the Kentucky-Illinois border. It's producing moderate to occasionally heavy rain across the southeastern third of the state. And then as you come north, there's less rain, and pretty much north of I-72, it's just cloudy with occasional sprinkles and colder air filtering in. This colder air is going to overspread the state tonight and tomorrow. We'll be seeing temperatures down in the 20s tonight in most of northern and central Illinois as the storm system moves over eastward into Indiana and Ohio and produces a little bit more precipitation there. But we're only going to get about a day or so of decent weather. Another storm system coming out of the southwest will move up through Missouri and again concentrate on the southern half of the state, and we'll see more rain coming into central and southern Illinois on Sunday, Saturday night and Sunday, and that'll follow a similar course. So the northern half of the state is going to be relatively dry, and it's going to be drier in Iowa, and that's good news for an area that's seen much too much moisture this season in most of the northwestern half, and the southeastern part of the belt is going to see quite a bit of rain, and we're going to be talking about some chances of localized flooding with this protracted period of rain.
And then a warm-up and a dry-down next week?
Yes, it does look much better for next week. Once that second system gets out of there, we are going to warm up, and temperatures are going to go from below normal currently to well above normal by the time we get into the latter half of next week. We'll be seeing temperatures well up in the 60s, I think, by the latter part of next week.
And do you see anything in the horizon that might suggest that we're going to break this wet cycle?
No. in a word, we are still in a pattern that sees storm systems coming in the southwestern part of the country, coming across the far southwest, and then moving east-northeastward. They're still south of us for the most part, which means as we move through the latter part of spring, we're going to have to see this pattern shift northward, and that means the wet weather is going to be working back northward again, I think, by the beginning of April. So I don't see an end to this pattern, at least not in the next several weeks. It looks like a protracted period of precipitation with this pattern that's been so persistent all winter.
Thank you very much, Peter.
My pleasure.
That's agricultural meteorologist Peter Lavitt. And that is today's closing market report. Remember, you can listen to today's futures analysis as well as the weather on the World Wide Web. You go to WILL.AG.org and click on the audio analysis tab. You can also sign up for our weekend agricultural ag e-letter. That's in the right navigation window, comes out every weekend free to your agricultural email box. Technicals and fundamentals, as well as a look ahead at what's going on in the week. This is Dave Dickey.